How are you doing this morning, Dave?
Doing very well, gentlemen, and just thinking about the exact topic you're talking about, because I'm working on a piece for my Sunday column on killer instinct and how to define killer instinct, because I think it's, you know, it's maybe an overused term, but a hard to define term in terms of what it is. It's not associated with fighting or that type of toughness, but it's a resiliency and a toughness that's developed over a long period of time. It's not something you go out and buy with one player. It's not, you know, it's not something that, well, we're going to draft a kid this year with killer instinct and then our team's going to have it. But the way you're describing Tampa Bay, from having an intimidating goalie who, you know, is all world to having an enormous defense that I think is the most underrated part of their team, to having guys and not guys, guys like Steven Stamkos willing to do whatever is necessary to win. And I think it's an incredibly well-constructed hockey team. And part of it is when you have those ingredients and you bring in a Nick Paul, you know, who has great qualities, and a Brandon Hagel, they have no choice but to assimilate. And when they walk in the locker room or they watch the way things are done, that's part of the development of their own killer instinct, is watching, you know, like everybody that watched last night and watched Steven Stamkos and watched him leave the ice not once but twice in succession says, okay, well, like, I'm not going to do that now. Like, I'm going to step to the side. So it's interesting to watch. You know, you guys know I picked them to go through in the East, and I think they're going to three-peat, and it's all the ingredients they have. A guy like Braden Point goes down, and oh, we're going to put Nick Paul in there. And because of who we're putting him with and how it's going to work out okay. But it's a well-constructed team, guys. It really is. And there's a couple of them left that I feel the same way about in terms of their construction, their salary structure, all the things that have to go into place to win in this league right now.
Dave, as we turn our lens on Ottawa, which is still trying to get to the playoffs first and foremost before they even get down the road of getting to a Stanley Cup final, and so many teams that are in Ottawa's kind of position, they talk about adding, you know, veteran leadership, guys that have been there, Stanley Cup champions, rings in the room, the importance of all that stuff. Is there a difference between having guys at who have those attributes, who play frontline roles on your team as opposed to, I'll call them lesser roles, you know, fourth liners? Like, is there a difference, in other words, in seeing Steven Stamkos do stuff like that as opposed to, let's say, Patrick Maroon, in terms of what you're trying to add to a team like an Ottawa?
There is, but it's across the board in terms of, you know, when you get to that level, no one is let off the hook. Everyone has to do it. But in terms of adding those pieces, it's tough on timing. And I think with Ottawa right now, they have some of the pieces in place that are going to be really significant players in this league and are good players in this league who have those qualities. I think Brady Tkachuk has those qualities. I think Drake Batson's going to block a shot, guys. I just do. And I'm confident that he's going to. I think Josh Norris is going to as well. And so some of the pieces that are in place now will grow. The pieces you're talking about adding, you don't just, a player still has to be able to play to be able to contribute. Otherwise, he's basically an assistant coach in the locker room, you know, as a senior statesman. And Simmer knows well, you know, when I came in late in my career in Washington, I couldn't play at the level I could play at. I could still contribute, but I couldn't play at the level I could play at, and that's a factor. It's hard to play a major leadership role without being a leader on the ice and being able to still contribute at a high level on the ice. You can do certain things, but you can't do all those things. But I think a lot of what Ottawa is doing, even in terms of salary structures in place, in terms of building a championship type of team. And I like, you know, from a foundation standpoint, there's a lot of good pieces in place. Now, in terms of adding them, you know, the reason I always like to watch the playoffs, and you know, I've encouraged the players to watch it, but I also, from a management standpoint, you're watching types of players that fit into what you're doing. So you may not be able to go get that player, but you can get that type of player who can fit a similar role for you. And as we watch player types develop, you know, one that's developing right now in Tampa, right in front of us, is Ross Colton. And you know, and I've spoken about him before, guys, is you know, he's a, he's a later round pick who played a couple of years in the USHL, a couple of years in college, a couple of years in the American League. Well, all of a sudden now he's scoring huge goals for them and you know, and gaining the reputation, but he's not demanded of it. You know, he's a third line player for them. And he doesn't have to be the feature guy every night, but he's certainly willing to contribute at a high level. Maybe nobody better than Alex Killorn and Andre Palat, who played up and down the lineup and play whatever is necessary to get the job done.
Do we look at this Pooley and they said the kid had it from day one, to Taves, to Bergeron, but certainly from Stamkos to Ovi seemed to learn it. The realization that your best players, and these are all captains, but in the case of Brady Tkachuk, what you pointed out, that ability to lead by that exact example in the playoffs, that if you're not willing to put it on the line and put your body on the line, you're probably not going to win four rounds and win a Stanley Cup.
It's so true, Simmer. And with Brady Tkachuk, I believe you have that player. I really do. And I'm just gonna digress for a half a minute here on Brady and right now and, you know, the different views that people have of what he's doing. I think it's tremendous. I think being out there with his family and being able to support his brother right now and, you know, and kids growing up pay a price if they're one of the younger siblings for what their older siblings are doing in terms of, you know, first dibs on whatever it may be. And the younger brother is supporting the older brother now. And I think the older brother would be supporting the younger brother in the exact same manner. I think it's terrific. I think it's fun to watch. I have no issue with it at all. And when I talked about the Senators not, you know, hiding from watching the games, he's far from hiding from watching the games. He's front and center and enjoying. But it also burns him, guys. You know that when he closes his eyes at night, he's thinking, I want that to be me out on the ice. I don't want to be sitting in the stands.
Two teams on the ice. We spent a lot of time talking about what Tampa is doing. This does not, Dave, look like the Florida team we saw in the regular season that would just be flat out, foot on the accelerator, overwhelming teams at times. And it didn't happen as much even in the Washington series, and certainly hasn't happened in this series with one goal scored in each of the first two games. What is Florida not doing so far, especially in this series?
Well, they're not able to open up the ice, and it was really evident last night in terms of getting to the front of the net and in the offensive zone. They're not able to open it up to the neutral zone. They're not able to open it up on their counters. But what we forget is you're going to say, well, Florida can't play like that in the playoffs. Well, the reason they can't is because of the way the team they're playing against is playing them. And when you see a team multiple times, you know, as Washington did in a six-game series, or as Tampa is in what could be a long series, you make your adjustments. And it's not a one-off playing them on a Tuesday night in January where they're flying up and down the ice. And, boy, that's different from the Boston team we saw last night or the New York Islanders team we saw last night. You've seen the team, same team every night. And it goes to the coaching and it goes to the Tampa coaches saying, and the Washington coaches, you know, at points did the same thing. They'd be studying those tapes and saying, okay, what did Washington do well against them? And what are we going to do in multiple games against them? And so it's the repetitive message. You're playing the same team every night, and what you're doing is working, and then it builds on itself. And then Florida starts to get frustrated. But right now they can't get to the front of the net. They can't get their offense going in transition, and they can't get to the front of the net. And when they do, there's a fairly intimidating goaltender who seems to be on the top of his game there. So I think the size of the Tampa defense is part of it, and the cumulative effect of playing a team multiple times, you can use to your advantage, and particularly when what you're doing is working, because then the frustration level starts.
I look at a lot of the Florida players, Pooley, and think in a playoff series, not hard to play against. That's not always a negative. But in the case of Barkov, and in particular Huberdeau, it's almost box-out lacrosse style, right? They are doing such an incredible job of taking away, and especially Huberdeau on the delay, just doesn't have an opportunity to make any plays.
It's exactly what's happening. And you know, both those guys had monster years. And I think, you know, Barkov in particular, that's a big body. They're both good-sized guys, but Barkov's a big body, and that's where you need the size on defense in some component to be able to do it. And Victor Hedman, guys, that left side of the defense is tremendous, and maybe the most underrated player is Ryan McDonough. But Victor Hedman, to me, that's the prototypical defenseman. And he caught Huberdeau at one point last night, and it was just like, wow. You know, he got beat in the neutral zone and caught him literally and got around him, didn't take a penalty and shot him down. And you were just like, that's a different beast right there.
We're kind of getting ahead of ourselves, but not getting ahead of ourselves, because we're all thinking, I think every hockey fan is watching this now and going, like you've said, you think the Tampa is going to win the championship again. And I think most people are thinking now, well, they're at least going to win this series given the position that they're in. And Simmer went through the size of their defense again, and we're kind of back to, you know, St. Louis had the monster defense when they won a couple of years ago. Tampa obviously has won the last couple of years. Washington had good size. Again, as we look at some players on Ottawa on the back end in particular, do you think you can win without having, you know, physically the big monsters back on D in this NHL, the way that the playoffs are played?
You can, but it can't be in multiples. There's still a place for a Samuel Girard. There's still a place for, you know, for a maybe a shorter stature player. But it can't be. I don't think it can be in multiples. I don't think you can have three of them. And if you have two of them, they better be pretty special. So I still think, you know. And once again, now you're talking about multiple games in a series and the ability to go and create traffic. Because if you're gonna say, how are we gonna beat Vasilevskiy? I say, well, we got to get traffic in front of them. Well, that's easy to say. Now you got to go get traffic in front of them. And Montreal did it last year with a blueprint, you know, that had big physical guys. And even last year, guys, the rules were probably called a little bit differently than they are this year. They're that much tighter this year. And yet you can still, if you're, you know, you've still got to have the mobility to move your feet. And it can't be a statue back there. But if you can move your feet and be effective, and, you know, and it's interesting because the other factor is Tampa at points has used 70. I mean, they've gone with 70 and just said, you know what, we're gonna lighten our minutes just fractionally. We're gonna take 2 or 3 minutes off our big guys, bring Jan Ruutu back in the lineup, and Cal Foote has emerged, guys. I've been impressed with his play through this series and through the Toronto series, and watching him sort of grow right in front of us, but. There's a physical element still to this game, and because some of the forwards are so big. I mean, you know, we talked about Barkov's size. He's a big guy, so you got to defend against him.
And, Pooley, if you do have that from Fox to D'Angelo, and I'll think of Hughes in Vancouver, does that player almost have to be the QB on your power play? Because if he slid down lower, chances are that lack of size is going to catch up to you?
You've got to have minutes on the PP, I think, for sure. If he's there, for offensive reasons, Zimmer. That's the quality that he's going to bring. And so he's got to be on one of your two power plays for sure. And a lot of the power plays now load up, you know, maybe a buck and a half or a buck 20 on that first unit. So ideally, yes. And if he's not, he's got to be on the second unit for sure.
They talked on the broadcast last night that St. Louis made adjustments in game two from game one, and the results speak for themselves. They had a 4-1 win over Colorado. What did you see from St. Louis that was maybe different from game one, and do you think they've got a chance now in this series?
I thought they had a chance before watching last night, and St. Louis was my fifth team, you know, after picking Colorado and Calgary in the West and Carolina and Tampa in the East. St. Louis was my dark horse. We had to pick five teams, and they were my dark horse. And I know that coach pretty well. And I think that coaching staff doesn't get enough credit. And Steve Ott, who was a rookie coach, has done a great job. Jimmy Montgomery quietly has got back into it with St. Louis, and Mike Van Ryan's coaching the defenseman. But, you know, you talk about size again, you know, and we know Parayko's a big guy, but Perunovic is not the rookie. You know, he is smaller, but Nico Mikkola, guys, he's a big kid, and he's a pain to play against. He's 6'4", 220 pounds, and he's got a nasty streak to him, and that's a fifth-round draft pick that you developed. You left him over in Finland for a couple of years, and then you brought him over and played in the American League for a couple of years. Now he looks like he's a force. But I think they skated much better up attacking in the offensive zone. I think they did a good job in their forecheck. They got their bodies on people, and they can roll lines, guys. And this is kind of interesting because I'm just glancing through this and I'm thinking, you know, who's scoring their goals? So they have 9 20 goal scorers. And so then immediately you think, okay, well, what about the top offensive teams? Florida has 6, Carolina has 5, Tampa has 6, and Colorado has 7 20 goal scorers. St. Louis has nine, and you don't think of them as an offensive team. And Doug Armstrong has done a great job with the cap, and when someone's exceeded the cap, like Petrangelo, they've let him walk, and they've gone back to what they do. They don't have a player on the team that makes more than $7.5 million. So it's a deep, well-constructed team, and there's a lot of been a conversation, you know, in Toronto right front and center about, you know, putting their assets into a, you know, minimal amount of players and having the best offensive players. Well, St. Louis has a pretty good offensive team because they have 920 goal scorers. And you know, and I like the way they play. They play hard, but I thought their forecheck was the difference last night in getting up and attacking. And I also thought that it would take two goalies for St. Louis to get through. I knew they were starting Huso, but I thought Binnington would have to be a factor at some point in the playoffs if they were going to move through.
Yeah, you better draft well. And to that, Pooley, I know you mentioned Girard, but to me that was the Achilles heel last year where Makar is your guy running the power play, and Girard is a good player, but that forecheck against Vegas last year and then again last night just appears to become overwhelming for him.
Yeah, it does. And, you know, and the thing that they'll have to look at, too, is the emergence of Devon Taves as an offensive guy, Simmer, because, you know, he is not only a perfect partner for Cale Makar, but he's a good offensive player as well. And so that's something you'd probably have to look at if you're Colorado.
Any surprise to you that Mike Smith gets the call for Edmonton in Game 2 tonight?
No, it's not. It was such a wacky game. And, you know, I had the goaltending piece coming out of the last game on our panel, and I didn't even get to Koskinen, and he gave up five. I didn't even get to him because we were busy talking about how Mike Smith wasn't very good early and how Jacob Markstrom wasn't much better. But it doesn't surprise me at all that, you know, they bet on him going in and you know, he had to stew over, you know, the majority of that game sitting on the bench watching with a baseball hat on. So it doesn't surprise me they're coming back with him. And Koskinen didn't do himself any favors when he went into that game. But what a wacky, crazy game that was in every aspect. I think we're going to see a totally different game tonight, guys. I really do.
Do you also feel like Calgary, this is ability to seize the moment? Dreisaitl's injured, still not a great back end, and still some big question marks in goal.
Yes, I do. But that Calgary team is well constructed. Now let's go back to size on defense again. That's a big defense, guys. And it's pretty amazing what they've got out of their third pair with Eric Branson, who you guys know well, and a native of Ottawa, and Nikita Zadorov. I mean, that is a monster pair, but they start periods, they start penalty kills, they play a lot, and they play really well together. And Branson in particular is just a different player than we saw in Ottawa, a different player, and it just shows you when you're in the right position, the right role, with the right partner, on the right team. A lot of it is not in your control in the NHL, and when you do get take advantage of it, Erica Branson really has done that.
Before I let you go, quick thought on Cam Neely, the Bruins president, had some pretty candid thoughts on Bruce Cassidy in particular, a bit of a shot across the bow. What do you think the purpose of Cam Neely saying that was publicly, or is that just Cam Neely?
That is Cam Neely, gentlemen. And, you know, I had an opportunity when I went to Boston. I actually lived with Cam. And through a portion of the first year I moved up, and the next year the house wasn't ready, so I lived with him again and spent a lot of time with him. And he basically tells it like it is. And you know, that's a conversation he would certainly have no qualms about having with Bruce Cassidy. He just happened to have it with the whole world. And it was just like, it was almost like it was at my loud voice.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm sure Bruce Cassidy's demands on himself for every bit, and they had some conversations about how to coach individuals is what it seemed like. And Cam brought that to the forefront in the press conference. So, and I'm sure, you know, maybe some things are better left behind closed doors, but, you know, it was a conversation that was had at some point and was reiterated by the president of the team, and I'm sure it'll be had again.
Just Cam being Cam. Now, this is the May 24th weekend, the long weekend, a lot of fireworks around. I'm a little bit concerned about your cats, Fred and Ted. How do they deal with loud bangs, fireworks?
Zero issues.
Wow.
Zero issues with them, yeah.
Okay. Well, that's...
Yeah, they're cool cats.
Okay. Did they grow up in Philly, or...?
Maybe it's the senior part of it. I don't know. Did I mention the seniors?
Yeah. Okay, good stuff. We'll be back. Well, we're going to take Monday off, so I guess we'll revisit with you on Wednesday. much can change between now and then. Mm. We'll see how it all transpires. Hope you have a great long weekend, Dave. Appreciate the visits this week, and we'll chat with you again on Wednesday.
Have a great one as well, guys. Enjoy the hockey.